darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment, let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And greetings, folks. Matt Barber in today for Abe Hamilton. You are, of course, listening to the Hamilton Corner. As a former professional boxer, I always feel comfortable in the corner. And we are going to come out swinging today. A lot to talk about. I am, a co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. I encourage you to visit our website, Christian Civil Rights Watch. It's at truecivilrights.org, truecivilrights.org. And Christian Civil Rights Watch is a group of Christian legal watchmen. We educate, communicate, and where necessary, we litigate. And we are proactively fighting to restore justice for faithful Bible believers' constitutionally protected civil rights. And as you know, Christian civil rights is the civil rights struggle in large part of our time in this day and age. We are seeing attacks on religious liberty and the free exercise of religion as guaranteed by the First Amendment at unprecedented levels. I promised that we were going to come out swinging, and boy, I am hopping mad today. News broke late yesterday. About the Boy Scouts of America, but I err. I guess the news before that a couple weeks ago was that the Boy Scouts of America, they've now taken "boy" out of their name. It's the Scouts BSA is their new name because, well, they've had a progression. They've had a downfall here that we've witnessed over the last few years, sadly, wherein the Boy Scouts open their ranks not to young boys who may struggle with same-sex attraction or you know, be, and I would be the first to say if boys are struggling with same-sex attraction, you know, let's have good godly men surrounding these boys. And the Boy Scouts used to be a godly organization that honored God and talked about being, quote, morally straight. They've abandoned their ethical code. They've abandoned their moral code. They've abandoned God, and they have abandoned their tradition and their foundations of over a century. And they open their ranks to not just boys struggling with same-sex attraction, but out and proud, open homosexuals, boys who are sexually attracted to other boys and are proud of it. I said at the time we were going to that was the beginning of the end. The secular left, I've often used the analogy, they're like a swarm of locusts. They swoop in and find once noble institutions. You think of the military, how it's been homosexualized. You think of the Boy Scouts. They swoop in and they leave just a husk of the former organization, and we are witnessing a husk of the former organization called the Boy Scouts of America. So they open their ranks to boys. I said in no time they will open their ranks to scoutmasters, men out and proud, activists, homosexual activists, many of them, and a worldview that is anathema to the biblical worldview upon which the Boy Scouts and our great nation were founded. I said they'd be opening the ranks. People said, no, of course they're not going to do that. They wouldn't have men who are attracted to other males sleeping in tents with your, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old boy. They would never allow that to happen. A year or so later, bingo, it happened. I warned then at the time, just wait. Next, they will be opening the ranks to gender-confused girls, to girls who pretend to be boys, who are sexually confused and want to dress like boys and pretend to be boys, so-called transgender. That happened. And then I said, it's only a matter of time. They've already given away the bank. The Boy Scouts will just open the ranks altogether for girls. And they've done that. And then they remove the name, Boy Scouts. So they have fully neutered the Scouts, removing the name Boy and all masculinity within the Boy Scouts, that toxic masculinity we hear so much about. and have now instead made it this kind of androgynous, gender neutral, because we have to get rid of the gender binary, because you know that's how God created them, male and female, as we're reminded, and as Christ himself reminded us in Matthew 19. And this is all about rebellion against God, so we have to get rid of that. Now the news broke yesterday, and this is what's got me hopping mad as a former scout, a former Weeblo, a former Boy Scout, and my son, having been a former Boy Scout. I pulled him out when all this nonsense started to happen, when the LGBT left, the secular humanist, God-hating left, got a hold of the powers that be in the Scouts and ruined it like a cancer, and they are going down like a sinking ship. An announcement came out yesterday that the Boy Scouts and my friend over at Florida Family Policy Council, John Stimberger, put out a press release on this. He was an Eagle Scout and is now head of the chairman of the board for Trail Life USA. Your godly and masculine Boy Scouts alternative, Trail Life USA. I encourage you to visit the website traillifeusa.org and get a get a group opened up in your area, because we need an alternative more than ever now. So the news came out. The World Organization of the Scout Movement, they released its health and safety guidelines for the World Jamboree, which is coming up at the Summit Betchel Reserve in West Virginia, of all places, on July 22nd through August 2nd. The guidelines require that host organizations, who in this case include the former Boy Scouts of America, now this again, the Scouts BSA, you're not going to believe this. They require that they hand out and provide condoms to everybody. That here's their quote from their announcement, that they, quote, ensure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants and IST, that's staff, at a number of locations on the site. So they're going to have, these little tents, I guess, where you go and the homosexual scout master goes and he grabs his handful of condoms and heads back to the tent with the Boy Scouts, and or the Boy Scouts all get together and grab their condom. Why are we having condoms in a 99% male predominant a gathering of young men? And well, because this organization has been homosexualized. It goes on, heads of contingent must be informed in advance and made aware of their responsibility in communicating this policy to their participants. So not only are they going to make the condoms available to Boy Scouts and Eagle Scouts and Scout Masters and this big, jamboree, and boy, what a jamboree it sounds like it's going to be. They have to make sure that everybody is aware of it, that they're, so much for the Boy Scouts of old that talked about being morally straight, standing for God and country, once honorable organization that has now been completely rotted out and corrupted by the secular left, by the anti-God LGBT left. And it is just absolutely heartbreaking. And so this is going to be the largest gathering of scouts around the country. And, the Girl Scouts of America, which is no bastion of conservatism. Of course, they push Planned Parenthood propaganda. They push sexual promiscuity to your girls. So scouting is no more, is that it, on the college campuses, they love to talk about a safe space. Scouting is no longer a safe space for your child. Be he a boy or be she a girl, or as the left would suggest, anywhere in between, which of course is silly, but it's not a safe place. Scouting is now a place for sexual predators. Scouting is now a place for male on male hookups and female on female hookups. And the Girl Scouts were nonetheless, so now there's infighting going on. The Girl Scouts were fit to be tied. They were livid when the Boy Scouts announced this new policy that they were changing their name, removing boy, and opening their ranks to all girls and all boys who are pretending to be girls and girls pretending to be boys, and boys that are attracted to boys and girls that are attracted to girls, and this panoply, this LGBT, LMNOPQRST alphabet soup of nonsense. They have completely taken over the Scouts. And the Girl Scouts put out an announcement at the time, and they said this: the Boy Scouts house is on fire. Instead of addressing systemic issues of continuing sexual assault, financial mismanagement, and deficient programming, BSA's senior management wants to add an accelerant to the house fire by recruiting girls. So that was a very strong statement, I must admit, by the pro-Planned Parenthood, pro-abortion, pro-sexual promiscuity Girl Scouts of America. But that announcement does not come in a vacuum. There was already a pandemic, and that's not too strong a word, a pandemic of homosexual assaults occurring within the Boy Scouts before they opened up the ranks to out and proud homosexual Scoutmasters. There is a report in a few years back, the High Court of in Oregon, the state's highest court, ordered the release of a huge listing of homosexual molestation or perversion files, wherein male homosexual Scoutmasters, who of course they couldn't admit it at the time that they were homosexual, attracted to other males because the Scouts had a policy that would not allow that. Now they're out and proud. Just come on in. Hey, you're welcome. So instead of going through and finding these homosexual predators and doing the right thing and clamping down in the Boy Scouts, they instead opened up the ranks to out and proud homosexuals. But there are thousands, the list goes on, of instances, reports of boys being homosexually molested by adult males and by other boys within scouting, within the Boy Scouts. So when the Girl Scouts refer to the Boy Scouts house being on fire and not addressing, quote, systemic issues of continuing sexual assault, that's what they're talking about. So what do they do? Well, you know, we always hear safe sex, so what do they do? Instead of addressing the issue of homosexual predators in scouting, they're going to hand out condoms to them. they're literally at this jamboree. They're going to be handing out condoms by the bucketful, I guess, to both Boy Scouts and homosexual Scoutmasters, and ostensibly there'll be some heterosexual hanky panky going on as well, since now they're going to be allowing girls there. And but just in case that was not enough, I mean, they're also going to have beer tents. they're going to have designated areas for the serving and consumption of alcohol. Now, I assume that is, you know, for adults only, but, you know, one has to wonder at this point. I mean, just incredible. My friend, again, John Stimberger, Florida Family Policy Council president, and the chair of Trail Life USA, the board chair, he said this, and John is just absolutely fantastic, and I was just delighted to be a part of the initial planning phase of Trail Life USA when we went to a meeting in Kentucky, then to the launch of Trail Life USA in Nashville, and I'm proud to say that I had a hand in forming this organization. No longer affiliated, didn't have any direct affiliation, so there's no, you know, conflict of interest here. I'm just really proud of what John Stimberger and others have done. He said this: in light of the mandatory condom policy, it is not clear how far down the rabbit hole the Boy Scouts will continue to fall. With the addition of condoms and alcohol, the World Jamboree is starting to sound more like a 1960s Woodstock festival rather than a campout that parents would want to send their children to. All of this should be deeply disturbing to the churches that are chartering Boy Scout troops. These policies present a clear youth protection problem that the Boy Scouts absolutely refuse to recognize. And again, there's a long history of homosexual assaults occurring within the Scouts. They're absolutely right. John is absolutely right. In any church that continues to maintain any relationship with the Boy Scouts, shame on you. Shame on you. You no longer have any excuse. Full disclosure, you now know. So that's it, folks. We're going to switch gears. For the next segment. I want to talk about the Pope. Is it true? Did Pope Francis really say, hey, it's cool to be gay? That's how God made you. We're going to talk about that right after the break. Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. Don't go away.
Schneiderman is in hypocritical hot water. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Eric Schneiderman, the New York Attorney General, has resigned after several women accused him of physical abuse. This same Attorney General is prosecuting a client of Liberty Counsel's for peacefully sharing the gospel on public sidewalks outside of a New York abortion facility. However, a security guard for the abortion center has testified in court that our client was innocent. The shocking allegations of physical abuse and dehumanizing treatment of women by Schneiderman is the epitome of hypocrisy and cannot be tolerated. He has also used his authority to target innocent people with whom he disagrees. Fortunately, the governor has now assigned an investigation into these allegations. It seems the law that Schneiderman sponsored as a legislator to criminalize choking in domestic disputes may be the same law that sends him to prison. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
Have you ever wondered who or what was on Jesus' mind while he was on the cross? His mother seemed to be. He turned to his mother and said, "Woman, behold your son." To John, he said, "Behold your mother." The Bible says from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. The law required the eldest son to take care of his widowed mother. Jesus was fulfilling that law and providing for his mother after his death. This Mother's Day, are you looking after your mother? She may not be widowed and may have an income of her own, but are you giving and showing your love and gratitude?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul explained that in Christ there is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. On Truth for Life, Alistair Begg helps us understand the profound meaning of Paul's teaching. Listen Monday through Friday to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
And we're back. Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton today, through the rest of the week, actually. And glad to that proud and privileged that Abe would grant me the responsibility to sit behind his mic and for the rest of the week. So glad to be with you. Want to kind of close out our thought here on the Boy Scouts of America and this policy now where at their world jamboree, they're going to be handing out condoms to everybody. Mentioned that there's a long history of homosexual assault on the Boy Scouts. I want to make clear here that this isn't the stuff that is happening in a vacuum. You need to understand that the studies that are published, even by left-leaning archives, for instance, such as the Archives of Sexual Behavior, found that of a study group of homosexuals, this is a quote, 86% of offenders against males described themselves as homosexual or bisexual. These are men who are assaulting boys. Okay, they are calling themselves, they're gay. That's what, so they are homosexual predators. People say pedophilia and homosexuality, they're not the same thing. No, this is how they self-identify. This demonstrates, as my friend Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council said, he said, since almost 30% of child sexual abuse is committed by homosexual or bisexual men, one-third male-on-male abuse times 86% identifying as a homosexual or bisexual, but less than 3% of American men identify themselves as homosexual or bisexual, we can infer that homosexual or bisexual men are approximately 10 times more likely to molest children than heterosexual men, and that would be boys, other boys. So it makes perfect sense, doesn't it, to hand out condoms to self-identified gay men at the World Jamboree, and also to the the young boys and teen boys that are there. Makes perfect sense to be handing out, have multiple tents identified around the area where they can go get handfuls of condoms. This is just absolutely insane. And also need to point out here that another 2001 study, also in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, found that nearly half of all gay-identified men who participated in research were molested by homosexual pedophiles. This is a quote. 46% of homosexual men and 22% of homosexual women reported having been molested by a person of the same gender. This contrasts to only 7% of heterosexual men and 1% of heterosexual women reporting having been molested by a person of the same gender. So the connection, folks, between homosexual abuse and so-called gay identity is undeniable, and it is just criminally reckless that the Boy Scouts of America opened up their ranks to self-identified gay scout masters sleeping in tents with your sons, and it is even more criminally reckless, if you will, that they're handing out condoms. So I want to switch gears now. Just as you can tell, I'm disgusted with the Boy Scouts of America, an organization I used to be proud to be associated with, and no more. And again, no church on the planet should have any affiliation with the Boy Scouts. They just lost about a third of their churches, with the Mormon Church, understandably, pulling out and having nothing more to do with the Boy Scouts of America. So they lost almost half a million Boy Scouts that went with the Mormon Church. So switching gears, a report also came out yesterday talking about once somewhat, you know, noble institutions being corrupted. Allegedly, Pope Francis, it's been reported that he told a self-identified gay man who incidentally, guess where his same-sex attraction derived from? Yes, he was molested by a homosexual priest. So here again we have a homosexual predator sexually assaulting a young man who then later identifies as gay, and which would the stats are astronomical. I mean, it's a case like this we hear all the time. Could have been done by a homosexual priest, might as well have been done by a homosexual scoutmaster. The point is, homosexual predators are out there and they're doing this. He said, God made you like this. He told this man this, which I'm struggling to find the theology there. He said Juan Carlos Cruz is the main whistleblower in Chile's clerical sex abuse and cover-up scandal, said Monday that he spoke, and this is from Breitbart.com, to Pope Francis about his own homosexuality during their recent meeting at the Vatican. The Pope invited Cruz and other victims to a Chilean predator priest to discuss their cases last month. Cruz said that he told Francis how Chile's bishops used his sexual orientation as a weapon to try to discredit him and so forth. He said, look, Juan Carlos, the Pope loves you this way. God made you like this, and he loves you. This just doesn't jive, A, with Scripture, where we're told, you know, we're told even God said, the Bible says, speaking in specifically of homosexuality, and such were some of you. You are no longer. And, you know, in Romans, it doesn't say God made you this way and God loves you this way. Yes, God loves everyone, but he doesn't love what we do. We need to be clear here. Being gay is not a being anything. It is not what somebody is. It is what somebody does. It is behavior. It is temptation. And whether or not someone acts on that temptation, the fact that people define their identity based upon certain aberrant sexual proclivities that the Bible calls an abomination, that the Pope would say such a thing, if this is in fact true, it's heresy. It is absolute, utter heresy. Think about, you know, Romans 1, 26 through 27. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. Well, since when did God start making people in an unnatural way? God is the God of nature, of natural law. God made every human being based upon their biological makeup, and their everybody is intrinsically heterosexual. That's how we were created. By, you know, you can be politically correct. I'm going to be biologically correct. He said, and the men likewise in Romans gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. So again, how does the Pope reconcile that by saying this is how God made you? Would God make people to give up natural relations? Would God make people in such a way that they commit what God calls shameless acts? Would God then make people who then, as Romans 1 says, who receive the due penalty for their error? So by the Pope saying here that God made them this way is saying that that God made them in error, that God made a mistake. You cannot possibly reconcile what the Pope is saying here. Now, I get it. I understand that this Pope has a soft heart, that he's evidently kind of a bleeding heart liberal. We are all to love people despite whatever their sin temptation is. The Pope should have said, yes, I can understand how this sin temptation was hoisted upon you by your being sexually assaulted by a man as a boy. It's little wonder that you would then start having same-sex inclinations and attractions. But that's not how God made you, is what he should have said. God made us all in such a way, and it was the fall that led us away from the way God created. We all have different temptations. We all have different sins that we commit. I'm no better than anyone else, any self-identified gay man. I am no better than. No one is. But what we do with those temptations is the question. And we can, what the Pope should have said is lean on the Holy Spirit through the power of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Such were some of you. You don't have to be this way. This is not how God made you. And the testimonies of untold thousands of former homosexuals is smoking gun proof that you don't have to be that way, and that is not how God made you. And I would say this to any self-identified gay or lesbian person listening right now. This is not who you are. This is not how God made you. Scripture is abundantly clear. 1 Timothy 1:10 talks about the sexually immoral men who practice homosexuality. It talks specifically about that. And that men who practice homosexuality, that is sexual immorality. And it goes on to talk about enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. So 1 Timothy 1:10 says that the men who practice homosexuality, men like this gentleman that the Pope spoke with, that what they are doing is contrary to sound doctrine. Therefore, if the Pope is affirming that sexual immorality as 1 Timothy, then he is calling God a liar. The Pope is saying that 1 Timothy 1:10 is wrong, and he has it right that I guess we've evolved and I'm not Catholic, but I guess the Catholic Church has evolved in such a way that that it is no longer contrary to sound doctrine to practice homosexuality. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Scripture says. And I shudder to think of a man like Pope Francis, who has such heavy responsibility on his shoulders, with millions upon billions of Catholics looking up to him. And this is why this absurd notion of papal infallibility is ridiculous. This is why I have Catholic brothers and sisters whom I love dearly. I believe they love the Lord. I know they're saved. But some of the traditions of men coming out of the Vatican show you that that man is corrupt, the heart is deceitful above all things. And Pope Francis, sorry, my friend, you are not infallible. You just made a big mistake. If this is all true and you really told this man that his practice as a practitioner of homosexuality, that was in keeping with sound doctrine and that God made him that way, that is sin. That is a grave sin. That is heresy. That's it. It goes beyond apostasy for him to have said this. I want to start giving out the number now. In the next segment, we're gonna take your calls here, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I want to talk about both the subjects we've kind of hit on today. The Boy Scout Jamboree, the Boy Scouts handing out, if you're just tuning in, I talked about it earlier, having their health and safety guidelines for the World Jamboree, the largest Boy Scouting event. It's going to be in West Virginia coming up in July. They are going to hand out condoms. They said, quote, they want to ensure that condoms are readily and easily accessible for all participants. So moms, dads, your little Cub Scout, don't worry. He's going to make sure and have, you know, maybe he'll get a merit badge and a condom. Isn't that just fantastic that the Boy Scouts have plummeted so far down the toilet bowl of life here that they are handing out condoms to kids and openly homosexual men, scoutmasters in the Boy Scouts? Yeah, as you can see, I'm a little animated today, a little hopping mad. But going back here to the Pope, I've just thrown out a couple, the Old Testament, the New Testament, throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Think of Leviticus, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. No, the Pope didn't say that. The Pope said, hey, his quote, what was his exact quote? The Pope said, this is how God made you. And the Pope loves you like this, and he's speaking about himself in the third person, and God loves you like this. Yes, God loves people, and he loves people in whatever their state. Jesus wants us to come to him as we are. But what did he tell the woman, who was about to be stoned to death for engaging in sexual sin? He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Yes, and I love that he said that. The left and the gay liberation theological left, people evidently, like Pope Francis, they turn that around. They say, so you can't judge? What else did Christ say? He said, they've left. You know, they dropped their rocks. They took off. They no longer condemn you. Neither shall I condemn you. And then what does he close out with? Now go and sin no more. No, the Pope didn't say to this man who is an out and proud open homosexual, all he had to do was quote from Leviticus, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman, my child. It is an abomination. Now go and sin no more. Don't do that. It's an abomination. That it, in an unrepentant manner, if you continue doing that, it can mean eternal separation from God. How dare this Pope lead this man down the path to perdition potentially here? It's heartbreaking, but it's not even like that's scripture. Okay, let's take the catechism itself, the Catholic Church's catechism. It offers its own clear, and by the way, it is a biblically sound summation of scripture here. I think it's actually pretty terrific. It says, basing itself on sacred scripture, and this is in the catechism, which presents homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity, tradition has always declared that, quote, homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. Intrinsically disordered. It is disordered because the natural order is as God created it. In the beginning, he made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his wife be joined, or leave his parents, his mother, father be joined, to his wife. Again, taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to get your thoughts on this. Yes, we are to love individuals who struggle with the homosexual sin temptation and even engage in it. And if they fall 100 times, we are to love them and forgive them. But they need to understand God's word is unchanging. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Pope Francis doesn't get to put word in God's mouth. I shudder to think of how he's going to explain that to the living God. Matt Barber, again, in for Abe Hamilton. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. Taking your calls after the break, 888-589-8840.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Watching the Middle East. This is David Wheaton, host of the Christian Worldview. Significant events are occurring in the Middle East. The nuclear deal with Iran has been canceled. Turkey is a re-emerging power. Russia is in Syria. And after unfulfilled promises of past administrations, President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, a major statement that Israel is not a temporary occupier in the land, but there to stay. What does this all mean? Paul writes in Romans 11, "For I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved." Hear an interview with a Christian geopolitical analyst at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss what happened to the Boy Scouts.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I've been warning you for quite some time about a dangerous piece of legislation sponsored by California Democrats that targets Christian pastors, bookstores, and conferences. Assembly Bill 2943 would outlaw any material that promotes so-called conversion therapy. The bill's already passed the Assembly and is about to be considered by the state Senate. A number of religious liberty groups say the bill is so open-ended that it could lead to all sorts of attacks on people of faith. As a result of the legislation, a major Christian ministry based in Colorado just canceled an upcoming conference at Biola University in Southern California. Summit Ministries said AB 2943 is a dog whistle to the left that Christians who hold traditional views are fair game for discrimination and lawsuits. No doubt the left will celebrate this news, but supporters of the First Amendment should be trembling. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
And welcome back. Matt Barber in today for Abe Hamilton. You are listening to the Hamilton Corner. I am co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. Also encourage you to visit barbwire.com, B-A-R-B-wire.com. I founded that news and information and commentary site. It's news, information, and yes, commentary from a decidedly biblical worldview. Glad to be with you today. We've been talking about the Boy Scouts now at their big world jamboree. They're going to be handing out condoms. Yes, you heard me right. Condoms to the boys and to the openly homosexual scoutmasters. And sounds like a, you know, the like, I don't know, like they're a big gay cruise or something, like a big a party, like, I don't know. It's just absolutely disgusting. Also talking about here, the Pope's remarks to a man who identifies as homosexual, that God made him that way and that God loves him that way. Not exactly rooted in biblical truth, and neither is it rooted in the tradition of the Catholic Church or the Catechism, which calls homosexual behavior intrinsically disordered, which it is indeed. Going to go now to the phone lines, talking to Ernest in Texas. Ernest, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a longtime listener. Absolutely love the show, and I'm a practicing Catholic. And everything that you stated is on point, and we need to make sure that as Christians as a whole, as a body of Christ, that we're taking opportunities to stand united. And this is just another attack from Satan. Not sure if the Pope actually said this. We'll find out in the days to come. But if he did state that, it is inaccurate. It's inconsistent with the teaching of the Catholic Church, inconsistent with the Catechism, and it's inconsistent with Pope John Paul's teaching on theology of the body.
Yes, absolutely.
Everything you said, right on point. And I think we just need to continue to have dialogue as Christians and point out evil where evil exists, even if it's in our own house. So I appreciate that, and I hope that it opens up more dialogue. And most practicing Catholics know this. You know that Pope Francis, like any other pope, he's a man, and he is subject to sin and to make mistakes, just like you or me. And if it is true, well, he made a mistake, and let's pray for him, and hopefully he'll have guidance through the Holy Spirit to correct what he has stated. I find it kind of hard to believe right now.
Well,
but, we'll find out in the coming weeks.
That's right, and it has turned out on multiple occasions. Let me make a couple things clear here. I am not Catholic bashing. And I'm not even Pope Francis bashing.
You're not. I appreciate that.
I have, again, many brothers and sisters in Christ who are Catholic. And I believe we are the body of Christ. And I love coming alongside my Catholic brothers and sisters to help speak truth and love in all contexts,
amen,
whether it's on the issue of life or just the gospel message in general. So, Ernest, again, thanks for the call. So I'm not bashing this Pope, and Ernest is right. There have been multiple instances where the Pope said things they were taken out of context, and I hope that's the case here, because if the Pope did in fact say this, as he is quoted, and this quote is attributed to him, then it is absolutely heretical. So, and it also does not. And here's what why I agree with Ernest that I am somewhat skeptical, because in the past, some of even Pope Francis's statements that he has made are in keeping with the catechism. He has said this in the past. He said the family is threatened by growing efforts on the part of some to redefine the very institution of marriage by relativism, by the culture of the ephemeral, by a lack of openness to life. And as I've often said, gay marriage, it's counterfeit marriage, it's mock marriage. It's inherently sterile. It's a dead end. The Pope went on to say, children have a right to grow up in a family with a father and a mother capable of creating a suitable environment for the child's development and emotional maturity. So he has added that attempts by the LGBT secular humanist anti-Catholic, anti-Christian left to push this counterfeit marriage on society, he's called it ideological colonization, which are out to destroy the family. That's what he calls these activists. He has said that the complementarity of man and woman is the root of marriage and family. I would just add, Pontiff, that it is the root of human sexuality, that any sexuality outside of the complementarity of man and woman is aberrant. It is aberrant sexual behavior. It is mock sexuality. It is the conflating. I don't want to get into the mechanics here of the reproductive and the digestive, and that we don't. You know, it is not natural by any stretch of the imagination. It is a mockery of the natural created order as God made it, sexual behavior between male and female, man and woman, within the bonds of marriage. Anything apart from that, anything outside of that, is sexual immorality. Going to go to Ricky in Baton Rouge. Ricky, how are you, sir?
Okay, thanks. I'd like to make two comments. One on the Boy Scout. It sounds like they want to have a big homosexual orgy and masquerade as Boy Scout Jamboree. Not just the churches should not let any of their parishioners attend. Any parent in his right mind that has a thimble full of morale, they should not let their kids go to that jamboree and pull them out the, Boy Scout altogether. I mean, what parent would want your son to get raped by some pervert?
What else are we supposed to infer? What else are we supposed to infer, Ricky? They're saying
Boy Scout Jamboree. But my second comment is with the Catholic, the Pope. I wouldn't be shocked if he said that, because I grew up Roman Catholic, and 99% of my relatives, about 1,000 relatives, all Roman Catholic. I can trace my Catholic roots to the 15th century France. But I will say this, growing up in the Catholic Church is still, it's a kind of a guarded secret in the Catholic Church, but a lot of the priests were sodomized. In fact, I had one try to come on me when I was a kid, but I think he took one look at me, and he knew I was going to punch his lights out if he had tried to advance on me, and he backed off. So no surprise there. But as far as the Pope himself, he talks like a communist. He talks like an atheist. So, I wouldn't be shocked if the Pope's a pervert himself.
Well, Ricky, I don't know about all that, but I will say this. If he, in fact, did say what is attributed to him, it is absolutely a heresy. And it's a very sad day for the Catholic Church if it is heading down that path toward gay liberation theology, which is apostasy, which Scripture could not be more clear about God's position on sexual morality. Christ himself, guess what? Jesus was against homosexual sin. He talked frequently about sexual immorality. Homosexual behavior was atop the list of the Jewish moral code of prohibited sexual behaviors: adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and other sexual sins. So Christ himself, of course, adopted the moral code and the moral law, Jewish moral law, and helped to perpetuate that and further it, and did not change a jot or tittle of it. So, taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Going to go to Joe in Mississippi. Joe, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. What's on your mind?
Hey, Matt. I was thinking about what you said, and I agree that there's no gay gene. Homosexuals are not born gay. But I don't know if you'll agree with me on this point, but I would say that is because we are not born in sin. If we look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it tells us what sin is. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Well, if we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the last verse there, verse 29, he says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." God makes us upright. We seek out all those inventions, all those different things that we want to do. And that matches with, that actually is in harmony with what we see in Psalm 58, which a lot of folks go to. But I think it's actually in harmony with that, because it says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb; they go astray as soon as they are born." That's not to say as soon as they be born speaking lies. That's not to say that you can even speak lies when you can't speak. But once you can speak, you start to go astray. And then when you think about, David was conceived in sin, so his mother was the one that sinned, and it mentions his mother in that same verse. So I'm thinking, if we say that gays are not born gay, but we are born in sin, then we're saying two different things. So it's one or the other. Either we're born in sin or we're not.
Yeah, no. Thanks for that. The thoughts, Joe. I get your point. Anybody who has ever had children, I have three children. I guarantee you this: they were committing sin before they could speak. There's no question about it. I think all three of my kids, perhaps their first word was "mine," as they would yank something that belonged to someone else away from them. I get your point, Joe. But we are, as human beings, the flesh. We are fallen, and it is because of original sin. And it is the fall of Adam. And this is not the way God intended it. This is not the way God created it. But thank God that he provided an escape hatch, right? Thank God that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Whoever shall believe upon him, accept him as Lord and Savior, that our sins are not counted against us, and that sin that we do develop, okay, if you want to say you weren't born with it instantly. I think when we talk about being, whether they're born gay or there's some gay gene, they use quasi-quackery science to try to say they're born this way. Even Francis Collins and others, the twin studies, for instance, where they're identical biologically and so forth, twins, upwards of 80%, where one identifies as homosexual, upwards of 80%, the other does not. The other identifies as heterosexual. So there, that is a higher percentage. That 20% range is higher than normal, but that's easily accounted for in the fact that they are raised under similar circumstances. It's nature versus nurture. And we do know that the studies indicate that nearly half of men who identify as gay were, in fact, homosexually assaulted as boys. Yes, even in the Catholic Church here. I'm going to go now to Pete, has been waiting patiently in Houston, Texas. I think Pete wants to challenge me on one of my comments relative to infallibility. Go ahead, Pete. Shoot. I'm ready.
Yes. It in history, it's my understanding that infallibility only occurs from happened a couple times, possibly three, in the history of the Roman Church. And these are issues that no Christian is going to, you know, Trinity, these kind of things. So to say that everything that all those popes, 200 popes, said was infallible, it's not a correct understanding of that principle.
Well, let me read just quickly. Again, I'm not a Catholic theologian, but I just want to read here in the dictionary. It says in the Roman Catholic Church, the doctrine, referring to the doctrine of infallibility, the doctrine that in specified circumstances, the Pope is incapable of error in pronouncing dogma. So maybe that's those specified circumstances is that wiggle room, right? Because as you point out, Pete, I hate to let you go. Your phone was breaking up. I don't think you have a good signal, but your point did come across. I think maybe that those specified circumstances give that kind of wiggle room for the fact that you're right. With over a couple hundred popes, is it over the centuries? They have certainly said contradictory things, and two contradictory things cannot both be true at once, right? So somebody was fallible. somebody was not right. But my understanding is that the doctrine of papal infallibility is certainly alive and well, and maybe, you know, my lack of knowledge, and again, I make no claim to be a Catholic theologian, maybe those specified circumstances, maybe they drill down a little deeper in the catechism and so forth relative to what that means. So thanks for the call, Pete. I'm going to go now to Tony in Virginia. Tony, we only have 30 seconds.
You?
30 seconds. What,
okay.
What are your closing thoughts?
The Pope needs to read 2 Peter, period, paragraph. I mean, he's preaching apostasy, and we're supposed to call them out. That's the problem with the country is and the world is that the Christians have given people a break when
Amen.
They preach apostasy,
Amen.
And they got to stop it.
Amen, Tony. I agree 100%. God bless you folks. Got to run. Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. I will be joining you again tomorrow and through the rest of the week. God bless you. Keep your head up. Keep your powder dry, folks. Keep fighting the good fight for biblical truth, because if we don't do it, who is going to. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.